It's you know, every once in a while the Lord gives different kinds of messages. Some are more teaching, some are along different lines. This one, I think, is an encourager. I think that's what it's meant to be. It's just something to encourage your spirit. And we're going to read a lot of scriptures. We're going to go through God's word and just take a stand with our God and declare who He is in our life and what He has done and capable of. So praise God. Let's open up with some prayer. So Father God, we are yielded vessels right here and now, Father, in Your presence and with Your people sitting next to us, Lord. We are willing to receive what You want to give us this morning, Lord. Speak into our hearts, speak into our mind. Help us in every area to yield ourselves to what Your Spirit is saying unto us, Lord. May we be encouraged today, Lord. May we rise up on the inside. Let the Spirit of God flow freely from us more after this day than it was when we came in. Father, we're loving You. We praise You for it, and we thank You. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. 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 So there's an expression that has become commonplace in our society where something maybe astounding, you know, they see or hear something that kind of is amazing or astounding, and they say, "Oh my God." Okay, has anybody ever heard that? Okay. Or we call it what? OMG for short, right? Okay, if you're into texting or whatever, I'm sure it's OMG. Okay, well, it's often something that is said when, you know, like something is true, but yet it's kind of hard to believe or kind of amazing or kind of stands out. It's like you see a video of this, you know, someone's car that is sliding down an icy street and it bounces off of 17 cars before it slides to a stop at the bottom. And you say, "Oh my God, you know, did you see that?" Okay, or it's the crying baby that is just crying hysterically until the family dog walks into the room and all of a sudden they see the dog and they burst out laughing instead of crying. And you're like, "Oh my God, that is LOL funny," right? And right, it's OMG, that's LOL funny, something like that. Okay, I'm not totally up on all that stuff, but somebody understands it. Okay, well, those might be considered OMG moments, right? They're, "Oh my God, what, something just happened." Okay, something just stands out. But this morning I want to share some other kinds of "Oh my God" moments. Okay, things that are literally some occasions when some of the great patriarchs of the faith called upon their God, okay, or testified of the greatness of their God simply by declaring their personal relationship with God and the deepness of the personal relationship that they had when they call Him my God. Okay? So that's where our title comes from this morning. It is about my God. Okay? It's personal. See, many people, even some that we would refer to or that they would refer to themselves as Christians, will often speak of our Lord as if He's in outer space somewhere, sort of watching down, and maybe He'll say something or do something in our life. We're not really sure. Okay, but the truth is, if you know God's word, that our God and His greatness literally dwells within us. Right? He said that, "I will dwell in them and they shall be my people and I shall be their God." Okay, He is meant to be that personal of a God to each one of us. He is my God. Okay, what I see in the scriptures when you read or you study is that when people refer to Him as, quote, my God, okay, it pulls into view this sense of ownership and belonging. Okay, and it leads to a greater confidence in God. Okay, it is no longer praying to some God that's out there, right? Now it's praying to my God. Okay, I declare that in my statement. Okay, it is a way of saying that He's not just some God, okay, with a little g. He is my God with a big G, right? I know the capability, the magnitude, the greatness, the awesomeness of my God. Therefore, I can pray, I can declare, I can speak unto my God or about my God. See, when you live an upright life. God has called us to live a life of righteousness. We live it out. And when we live an upright life and we're exemplifying Christ through the way that we live, when you say, "My God," in the presence of others, it signifies a oneness with your God, and it expands your testimony of His awesomeness. Because you're declaring that my God did this in my life, right? The Apostle Paul is a good example of that. Okay, he was a man that we know that at one point he hated Christians, right? He hated Christianity. Okay, he sought to kill and to, you know, at least imprison them in an effort to eradicate the earth of their ideology and literally their very presence. He just didn't want them around. Yet God saw to it in the Apostle Paul's life to provide him with the opportunity to become one, right? He has his road to Damascus experience where a real encounter with Christ. And we know that Paul accepted that. He became a Christian, right? He went on to preach the gospel and to establish churches and to oversee the early Christian church as an apostle. Not to mention that he wrote a large portion of our New Testament that we read today. The God that could do this, that took him from hating and killing Christians to being a man of faith or one of the greats, the God that could do this was capable of absolute miracles in Paul's eyes. And he knew that others would grow in faith by associating his conversion with the power of Jesus Christ to do it. Okay, so he wasn't afraid to tell his testimony of what God had done in his life. Okay, on numerous occasions, the Apostle Paul made it a point to give the credit for something that he was saying to my God, okay, or to his God. Okay, I'll give you some examples. We'll start in Romans chapter 1. Verse 8 this morning. Paul says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." In other words, I thank my God because it is He who has caused your faith to be spoken of throughout the whole world. Okay? He's thanking his God that their faith was being spoken of because he knew that his God is the one that made that possible or that made that happen. Okay, another verse is 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. Paul tells them, he says, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ." Okay, in other words, he's saying, "I thank my God for getting you saved through Jesus because it was the grace of God that made that possible." So he's thanking his God. He is tying in his faith and his expression, his thankfulness is to his God because his God made their life better. Okay, when giving instructions to the Corinthians on praying and speaking in tongues in the church, he says this in 1 Corinthians 14, 18. He says again, "I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all." My pastor used to say he thought that Paul must have been from Texas because of y'all. I pray in tongues more than y'all, right? Okay, but he is giving God the credit for the beautiful gift of the heavenly prayer language that he had benefited so much from that he wanted them to know where it came from. I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than y'all. In other words, he's saying it is my God that has given this blessing. Okay, one of the most famous declarations of Paul pointing others to the supernatural ability of God is when he was thanking the Christians in Philippi for their continued financial support of his missionary journeys. Even after he had gone through Philippi and went on and planted other churches and stuff, the Philippians kept sending him financial resources to help him in his ministry. And he says this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Listen to this language. He says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Okay, in a statement like that, you can see the closeness of Paul with his God in just the way that he words things. Paul could have said, you know what, this God that's up there in heaven somewhere, he might possibly sort of help you if he really sees to it, maybe because you believe on his son. Okay, but Paul didn't word it in kind of a wishy-washy way. Paul knew the closeness he had with his God. He knew what his God was capable of. So he doesn't say it like that. He spoke with an absolute confidence in his God and didn't say, it's maybe or it's possibly. He says, my God shall. Okay, my God will. Okay, that's pretty close with God. When you feel like you know his plan, his will, his ability so close, you got it down, that you can say, my God will do this, this, and this. Okay, that's because you know him. You have a closeness with him. Another great example of a man of God that cried out with confidence in his personal God because he knew his God, okay, was the prophet Elijah. Okay, if you remember the story, the son of the widow woman that was taking care of Elijah and helping him, her son dies. And Elijah calls upon his God to heal him, to revive him. Okay, it's like this. It's in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, verses 21 and 22. It says, and he, Elijah, stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Okay, when I read a story like this, I think Elijah was putting his God on the line. Okay, if that child, you know, if God didn't heal that child, Elijah was going to look pretty foolish. And his God was going to look pretty weak, pretty incapable. Because he worded his prayer that, O Lord, my God, bring this to pass. He knew that his God was capable and wanted to see it come to pass. You know, the declaration that we make as a Christian, when we proclaim, my God will, and then fill in a blank. Okay, or we say, my God is, and we declare his nature, who he is. Or we speak out in a prayer and we say, you are my God. Okay, when we do that, it activates faith and it sets something in motion that is impossible to stop. Okay, it means that if, you know, Margie and I have done this many times over the years in ministry, but we have something, we have a need, or we get into a situation, and we know if we step out and God doesn't come through, we're going to look like a total idiot. Okay? I don't believe God wants me to look like an idiot. I think he wants to glorify his name through me, and that when I take a step of faith, God has the opportunity to glorify his name. If I stand back in fear and say, no, I'm afraid to do that, I don't want to look foolish. Okay? Guess what? God doesn't want to look foolish either. Okay, God wants you to take that step of faith and say, I'm going for it. Okay, maybe we'll fall on our face and God will use it somehow to humble us. I don't know. I don't think that happens very often. I think it's just the opposite. That when we step in faith, we put ourselves into a place, we're going to see the glory of God. We're going to see a manifestation of his anointing. For today's Christian statement, or for today's Christian believer, the statement that we might say of what our God can do would probably sound more like this. Knowing what we know of God, these are facts of the Bible, we could say, my God parts seas. Right? Did God part a sea? Okay, he delivered his people. Or we could say, my God stops the mouths of lions. Okay, we've heard, we've read that story. Or we could say, my God defeats giants. Okay, but let's make it a little more personal. Okay, let's make it more relative to real life. Okay, well, I haven't fought any giants lately. I'd probably have one of my sons do it or something. If I was going to make a personal statement, I would say something like, my God kept my truck from rolling when I went around a corner too fast with this big honking camper on the back. Okay? Or I would say, my God healed my friend on a mountaintop over by Laramie when I prayed for his eye. Or I'd say, my God delivered my family from death when we had a rafting accident a couple years ago in the river. My God did those things. Okay, that is a statement where I have no doubt. There's no question in my mind how that happened. My God did those things. Okay, and He did it on my behalf. And I'm going to declare those things and tell other people as often as I possibly can. You know, I came across a post on Facebook the other day. I'm in a lot of different pastor groups, and some are inspirational groups or whatever. And I came across someone where they shared a declaration of their faith in their God. Okay, I think I have a picture of that. They wrote this. They said, I will not be shaken. God is my strength. He is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my savior. There is nothing my God cannot do. Amen. Okay, now, this is it's a combination of a few different verses kind of put together. It's something that somebody has read and they believe. Okay, but every part of that is true. This is something that is a bold statement that I think is worthy of writing on the inside cover of your Bible. Okay, it is a statement that's worthy of writing it out for yourself in your own handwriting and posting it on your refrigerator so that you will see it and speak it over your life every single day. Okay, there is nothing impossible for my God. Okay, there is nothing that my God cannot do. Okay, He is my fortress. He is my deliverer. He is my everything. Okay, statements like that that we speak over ourselves is a statement that I believe in my God and what He is capable of. You know, I did a little research on just the phrase, my God. Okay, I looked it up in the Bible. It's in there so many times, it's hard to count them all. But if you look it up in the Bible, you're going to find that there is one man of God that said it more than any other. Anybody have an idea? David. It was the one who, as a young shepherd boy, stood up to a giant that had taunted and defied the army of Israel for 40 days straight. This Philistine giant named Goliath would come out into the valley and he would call out the men in the opposing army and tell them that if any one man could come out and defeat him one-on-one, then their whole Philistine army would fall down, bow down, and serve them. But no one would even try. Right? He'd come out, they would all scramble and hide. Okay, instead of going out to face Goliath, they trembled in their armor. Okay? Every day when he came out, day after day after day, they ran and hid. But a young man named David knew the strength of his God. He got permission from the king to take on Goliath. And he goes out and he tells this giant in front of everyone, he tells them this. He said, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. And I will smite thee and I will take thine head from thee. And on this day I will give the carcasses of the army of the Philistines unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, so that all the earth may know the God that I serve. Okay, David was reciting in his mind, my God shall deliver you into my hand today. He's telling himself, my God is able. My God can do. And then he went and defeated the giant. Okay, David went on to write many things in the scriptures. A lot of the Psalms we know were written by David. He wrote so many things in there to encourage us. Okay, and so much of his encouragement, when I read it, is because of the way that he words his language, the way that he puts his statements. It comes through a confidence in his God. Listen to some of these. Let's look at Psalm chapter 5, verse 2. David says, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray." Okay, he's declaring, "You are my God, therefore I pray to you, not to a rock, not to a tree. I don't pray to a saint. I pray to my God." Psalms chapter 7, verse 1. He says, "O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me." Did David think what he was going to get what he was praying? Absolutely. Because he knew that his God had already delivered him from those that persecuted him. If you need a reminder that God is with you in your struggles, David reminds us of this, Psalm 18:6. He says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." You know, if you want to know if your God is able to get you over an obstacle that is in front of you, maybe it's man-made, maybe it's something came up at work, maybe it's in relationships, maybe it's completely spiritual, maybe it's a demonic thing the devil has thrown into your life, and you're struggling. How am I ever going to get over this? This just seems like such an obstacle, such a mountain, such a wall that is put in front of me. I don't know how I can get over it. Listen to the words of David and let him remind you. In Psalms 18:29, David says this. He says, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." Okay, again, declaring he knows his God, and that it was his God that got him over the wall. David declared that his God was a healer. Okay, in Psalms 30, verse 2, he says, "O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me." You know, when you're going through life, sometimes as Christians, I noticed COVID was a horrible event in the history of our society. But one of the things that it did was create this alone feeling for so many people, where we feel like we're battling through things alone. They tried to keep people apart, and there was all these things that happened during that time. But when you're feeling alone in your battle, thinking that there are so many that are rising up against you that you're never going to prevail, okay, remind yourself of who your God is. Okay, in Psalms 31:12, David said this. He can relate. He said, "I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord, and I said, thou art my God." They didn't have that to say. David's stance was, "My God is bigger than your God," right? "My big G is bigger than your little G any day of the week. Thou art my God." Again, in Psalms 94:21, it says that they gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood, but the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Again, taking his stance, my God is bigger than their God. Okay, listen to the personal devotion, the commitment, the confidence in the words that David speaks. Because he's not just speaking of any God. He is speaking of his God, the one that he knows. In Psalms 84:9, it tells us this. It says, "Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. So as you go forth through this week, okay, we're going to be challenged. We're going to have life, right? We're going to go through. But as you go through it, seek to take note of the God moments, okay, the OMGs of life, right? Look with anticipation to have those eye-opening moments. When something happens and you declare, there is no possible way that this happened, but by my God. Okay, my God did something in my life, and you're declaring that. When you see those moments, whatever they are, if they're big or small, say to yourself, my God can provide for an unexpected bill. Amen? We can say, my God can make my headache go away before I have to go to work. Or we can say, my God is with me in this trial. My God just manifested His glory. My God just touched someone and changed their attitude. My God just helped me find something that I thought I had lost forever. My God did this. My God did that. Pretty soon you're going to be telling other people what your God is capable of. Okay, when you make it known that there is nothing that your God cannot do, okay, you are declaring the greatness of your God for all the world to see. Okay, when you use the phrase, my God, okay, then you're stating that your life is not your own. Okay, your God is everything. Okay, your God, like Elijah and Paul and like David, like them, your God is your world. Okay, He is your life. He is your provider. He is your healer. He is your protector. He is your Savior. My God is my all in all. Okay, declare to the world, He is my God, and you just might want to serve Him too. Just by saying, my God did this. My God did that. My God is able. Okay, there is nothing that my God cannot do. Amen? Amen. Trust in your God. Praise the Lord. Father, we are giving you and exalting you this morning. Father, I pray that hearts are uplifted to pray unto you, to declare that you are their God, that you state so clearly how powerful you are, how real and anointed, how magnificent you are, that we will declare you to all around us by simply looking for things that you have done in our life and saying, my God did. My God is able. That, Father, we praise you. We give you the glory. We pray for those moments. I pray for the OMGs all week, Lord, that we have them in relation to you, that we will see what you're up to in our life, that we will acknowledge and be astounded, that we will be amazed by you this week. Father, we're encouraged with your word. We're encouraged with your love and your grace for us. Thank you for pouring it out into us through Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your love and your anointing. Thank you for your gift of grace. We thank you for who you are, for you are my God. Father, we pray you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen. Amen.